We could dismiss services right now, and it was worth coming, because the music this morning was just outstanding. Thank you, all of you who participated, and there were many that participated, right? And that includes the congregation. You guys had a part too, so thank you for all of the good music. And let's continue to praise the Lord as we open up the scriptures today. In my pocket, I have two U.S. currencies today. And on the, let's go to this one first. The $1 bill, since I seem to have more of those than any other, is the picture of George Washington. You've seen one of those, haven't you? That's right. And then I've got another bill here, and it's a $20 bill. By the way, they're exactly the same size. Look at that. And they're the same color and have the same feel, same texture, very similar. On the $20 bill is a picture of Jackson. Very good. You've seen one of those. Well, that's all I got. But if I had a $50 bill in my pocket, we would see a picture of? We would see a picture of Grant. That's right. And if I went to this pocket and had a $100 bill, I know some of you do, but I don't, there would be a picture of? Franklin. You got it. That's right. All of those have the same size, all of those the same color, the same feel, and yet do they have the same value? No. No, they have different value behind those currencies. The picture on the front makes a big difference, doesn't it? It makes a big difference in the value of the bill. I'm here to tell you this morning, the image that is stamped upon us, mankind, the ones created on the sixth day of the week, that gives us value. It's his image that is stamped upon us that gives us value today. And all of us have value. And this morning, as we look at we turn our attention to the sixth day of creation, we're going to discover God's image is stamped upon us. Are you ready for your Latin lesson for today? I'm not. I have listened to this over and over, so I say it correctly. And the phrase is imago Dei. Did I do it? Latin experts in the room, is that right? Imago Dei. All together, imago Dei, which means image of God. And it's Latin, so there you go. You came, you got some good music, you had a Latin lesson, you're ready to go eat lunch now, right? But it's more than just a Latin phrase. The actual emphasis on this day, sixth day of creation, we need to present this as truth. Because many have dismissed what we're going to read today as fiction or as symbolic. Some have concluded that mankind just kind of evolved. Some believe that that the creation of the earth and mankind is by chance and therefore doesn't have a design. Just kind of fell into place randomly. Well, today's text from Genesis chapter 1 is foundational truth, as we've been presenting each week in this series through it all. Here's another foundational truth, and it's going to answer three questions today that are significant that our world is asking. Who are we? Where did we come from? And what are we here for? Those are three questions that are asked either they're either asked aloud, but I think oftentimes in the privacy of our own home, as we go through struggles, difficulties, we're asking those same questions. Who am I? Where did I come from? And why am I here? And I'm here to tell you today that we have a designer who gives us purpose. And instead of self-image, our focus needs to be on God's image displayed through us. That's where we're headed today. And I want you to find in your Bibles Genesis chapter 1. Easy to find. And if you're able, I'm going to read starting in verse 26. If you're able, I'd invite you to stand to your feet and join together and listening as I read aloud Genesis chapter 1, verses 26, all the way through chapter 2, verse 3 this morning. Are you there? Have you found it? Reading from the Word of the Lord. Verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, "Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit, and you shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heaven, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has breath in it, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Chapter 2. Thus the heavens and earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it, God rested from all of his work that he had done in creation. Will you bow before you're seated? Will you close your eyes and just say to the Lord, we need to hear from you this morning. And as we open your word, may the things that I say come from your word accurately. So teach us, and may we leave here being more certain of who we are, where we came from, and what we're doing. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Now you can have a seat. And thank you for standing in honor of God's word. As Pastor Dave taught us last week, God still speaks to us through it all, through his word. And it's very important that we accept that truth. God's word is truth. And this morning, as we look at this, we need to be convinced that this is his word. We'll see from these verses that God blessed a unique creature with purpose. That's where it starts. It starts with mankind being created by what? By God. By God. We are created by God, and that's what the text says. Then God said, there it is, God said, he spoke, "Let us make man." And then later on in verse 27, so here's what happened. God said it, and it happened. So God created man. Man is a design from the designer, mankind. He has been designed. There's two things I want you to notice here. The emphasis upon the creator in this text. In the other days of creation, it says, God said, let there be. And then you'll see it in verses, well, the earlier days of creation. God said, let there be, and there was. But when we come to the sixth day of creation, the wording is different. There's an emphasis put upon the creator. And it says, let, see the next pronoun? Let, say it out loud if you see it, let us. There's a pronoun used, and it wasn't used in the earlier days of creation as recorded. But it's used here, this is a second, or this is a first person plural pronoun. Let us make man. So there's an emphasis put upon the creator. There's something unique about the sixth day of creation and the creation of mankind. There's also something else here that's worth pointing out. It's an observation that helps us understand. In all the other days of creation, it never says, and God made male and female, he created them. So all of a sudden on the sixth day, the emphasis is put on gender. Now when he created the animals, did he create male and female? And I guess plants have gender too. Maybe you can help me if you're a scientist, explain that to me later. Not right now. But there's other genders in the days of creation. But here in this verse, there's an emphasis put on men and women, on gender. On gender. So there's two significant observations here that help us understand that something special, something unique is happening on day six of creation when God creates mankind. Now, there is a further text will help us better understand the creation of Adam and Eve. And let's see, 2 weeks from now, Pastor Dave, you're going to lead us to that text. And so we're not going to look at that today, of the creation of man and woman in chapter 2, and more detail is given there. But I do want to point out this, that man was created by God, and we have God's personal touch. There's a personal touch here, because it's the creator that's emphasized in the creation of mankind. The designer, he designed us. And the creation of mankind is different than all other created beings. There's something special, something unique going on here on day six. And one of them is this, that mankind was created to be like God. Like God. Because the text says, let us make man in our image after our likeness. And then in verse 27, when it happens, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. So I want you to recognize, if we would go back and look at day 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, we would see that the creation, that God created after its kind is the phrase that's used in verse 12 when talking about plants. After its kind in verse 21 when it talks about fish and birds. Verses 24 and 25, after its kind when it talks about living creatures, livestock, creeping things, and beast, all according to their kind. But man is created after God's kind, in the image of God, after the likeness of God. And there's a repeated emphasis there. It's repeated a couple of times. Let us make man in our image, in our likeness. It's repeated. So what we're seeing here is a real emphasis that there's something special in the creation of mankind. What does the word image mean, by the way? It's a representation, or likeness is like a resemblance. We look like God. We look like God. My seminary professor Brent Oakland said it this way often. He would say this: we are a visible representation of our invisible God. Amen. Yeah, that statement's worth writing down. And we are a visible representation of our invisible God. And how do we resemble God, by the way? Do we look like God? Well, other scriptures tell us that God is spirit. There's no physical being to God. But here's how we resemble God. We resemble God in these ways. We have minds to think, intellect. As we read the scriptures, we find that God has intellect. Perfect intellect. Now, there's some differences here, right? We are not God, but we resemble God because we have intellect. And we have more intellect. Now, some of you are going to question this. We have more intellect than other creatures, okay? That's why you don't see dogs using cell phones or cats driving cars trying to run you over or elephants flying airplanes. You don't see these things because there's an intellect that mankind was given that animals don't have. Yeah, but Dave, have you ever watched a... You're questioning this right now. You're saying, have you ever heard about the hummingbird that comes back to the same bird feeder every year and he makes his trip all the way from the Gulf of Mexico? Well, yeah, that's amazing how they were created. But I'm here to tell you, mankind has creative abilities, has intellect unlike any other creature. We have minds to think. We have wills to decide. We have wills to decide. We can choose between options. This is why, by the way, God warned Adam and Eve in the garden. He said, and the Lord commanded the man, you may eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. He had to tell him that because he knew that they had a will to decide. And as we find out in 3 weeks, that didn't go so well. They chose the wrong decision. That's a message coming up in 3 weeks. Pastor Adam will share from Genesis chapter 3. Men has a will to decide. Yeah, but Dave, my dog, I watch my dog when I say no, no, no. I can tell he's trying to decide what to do. Well, yeah. Animals have some ability to choose a will. Some dogs are strong-willed, right? And we know all cats are strong-willed. So yeah, but man has the ability to reason, to make decisions with intelligence. We are created unlike any other creature. And also we, like God, have emotions to feel. We feel emotions. We know, and yeah, Dave, but you ought to see my dog sometimes when I have to rebuke my dog. He looks sad. Well, yeah, maybe animals have emotion, but I'm here to tell you, we have emotion unlike any other creature. We were created with emotion. We are like God in that way. One more thing I will mention. Mankind is like God. We have a spiritual being. We have souls to seek God. By the way, I hate to tell you, but your dog does not have a soul to seek God. In a way, your God may glorify your dog. That's God spelled backwards, by the way. Your dog may glorify God because it's a creature. It's amazing. But your dog does not have a will to seek God. I'm sorry to say that. You're sad, I'm sure. We have souls to seek God, and this is unique to all other creatures. Now, I want you to listen and see from Hebrews chapter 11, because we, by faith, understand that the universe was formed at God's command. He spoke and it happened. So what is seen, all that we see, was not made out of things that are visible. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. But anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Mankind has the ability to please God. Mankind has the ability to choose to glorify God. Mankind honors or can honor God. They have that ability, unlike any other creature. So now, we need to pause, looking at the clock, and we need to pause and just remind ourselves, okay, or maybe ask ourselves, do I actually believe that God is my creator? You have to ask yourself that question. Do I believe that God is my creator, or if I accept some of the other philosophies of mankind's creation? Also, you have to ask yourself, okay, if I believe that God created mankind in his image and he has value, then how am I doing at honoring other individuals? I probably don't need to tell you that it's wrong to take innocent life, whether it's born or not, by the way. Mankind was created in the image of God and has value. I probably don't have to tell you that, but maybe I have to tell you mankind has value, and when your coworker curses you for whatever reason, you don't have a right to curse them back. When someone does me dirty, I don't have a right to do them dirty. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. It's not mine to return evil for evil, but I should return good for evil. That's one of the takeaways from this. If we really believe that human beings have value, then we need to treat every individual with value. Now, there's a lot of questions that can come up there. I realize that. And some of you are thinking, yeah, but you don't know. You're saying those things. And there are a lot of factors that come to play, but I'm here to tell you that day in and day out, the people that we rub shoulders with, that rub us wrong, maybe even in our own house, they have value, and we ought to treat them as such, because they were created in the image of God. What's our Latin phrase, everybody? Imago Dei, in the image of God. We were created in God's image, and mankind was created with purpose. With purpose. We have purpose. The text tells us two specific ways in verse 26, and let them, mankind, have dominion. Let them rule. Let them be as a king over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heaven, over the livestock, over all the earth and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. That's one purpose. We are met to rule. That's why this week when I saw an eight-legged little thing in my bathroom, spiders have eight legs, don't they? Thank you. I thought I was killing the right thing. I mean, so my wife called me to the bathroom. I took dominion over that spider. And I'm here to tell you, he's not in heaven. He went to the other place. I'm just sure of it. Dominion, the ability to rule, to practice authority over. And that's what we're talking about. We have authority over the earth and all that is in the earth. But not only that, we have a responsibility to fill and care for the earth. The text tells us, in verses 28 and 29, that, I'm looking for it here, that we have been called to be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. There's the dominion aspect. Yeah, but Dave, you don't understand. I'm single. How am I supposed to fill the earth? Or, yeah, Dave, we've wanted to have children for many years. How can I fulfill this responsibility that God has given us? Well, there's a whole lot more going on here than just having children and offsprings. Filling the earth involves a lot of others, but I'm here to tell you, it does not mean taking life. There's value in life. And I believe that what is happening in the pro-choice agenda violates this scripture. Amen. Yeah, that's a true statement. We have been called with that responsibility to fill and care for the earth. Each one of us have a part in that, of preserving and caring for the earth. The scriptures say the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. So this is our Father's world, and he yet entrusts us to be good stewards over this earth. Today's message, by the way, may start to sound a little green. You might think, man, he's one of those weirdos. I bet he's going to put a solar panel behind his house. Well, I'm here to tell you, there is a responsibility that sometimes in the Christian community, we heavy on the dominion. I can kind of just do whatever I want to the earth. But no, all creation should be cared for because we are called to care for it, all creation. And that's a whole other message that we'll let Pastor Adam talk about later, because he knows a lot more than I do, I'm sure. All creation was considered good. On the first day, when God created light, it was good. On the third day, when God created the sea and dry ground and the creation of the plants and vegetations, it was good. On the fourth day, when God created light and darkness, it was good. On the fifth day, God created the sea creatures and the winged animals and land animals, and it was good. But the pinnacle of God's creative work was on the sixth day with the creation of mankind in God's image, and it was very good. There's something special going on here. Mankind is a unique creature. He is the imago Dei. God blessed mankind. But God also blessed something else in chapter 2. There's another day of the creation week. And it's day, which day are we up to, everybody? Well, we've just done 6. Now we go to 7. That usually follows 6. And on the seventh day, he's going to bless something else. God blessed a unique day with purpose. Thus, in chapter 2, verse 1, the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day. And from all the work he had done, so God, here it is, God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all the work that he had done in creation. Now, is God resting because he's tired? Did he need to take his Sunday afternoon nap because it had been such a long week of creation? Is that what's going on here? Well, no, because God is omnipotent. And I love how Isaiah the prophet has recorded for us, do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is an everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He's not tired. And yet what God is doing here is he's setting a pattern that continues throughout the scriptures. And this, by the way, this pattern here on the day 7 is coming even before the Mosaic law was given. The pattern calls for us to work hard in 6 days and then pause. Pause our efforts and rest. And on that day, Might we reflect on the work that was done. Might we reflect on the Creator who created us. Interesting, we are blessed. That day was blessed, and we are blessed. And this is a message that continues throughout the Scriptures. We are blessed when we remember the Sabbath, okay? We are blessed by ceasing our work. Pause. Selah. We are blessed by resting. Even Jesus later helped us understand when he said, man was not made for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath was made for man. Yeah, so some of you are saying, okay, I'm supposed to go to work this afternoon. Am I in trouble? No, we are not under law, but this is an act of grace that God gave us a special day. And I'm here to tell you, what day of the week do you rest? Pick one. For most of us in the culture we live in, Sunday is a good day to rest, but not for everybody. Just remember, the purpose behind here is to cease work and to rest. And I might add, reflect. Reflect on our holy God who loves us dearly. Now, it's probably opening up all kinds of questions for you about keeping the Sabbath, about the law. I'm not going to go there. I'm not prepared. And you know what? We don't have time. But I'm here to tell you, it's a blessing that God gave to mankind by blessing the seventh day. God has blessed us in many ways. And one way he gives us rest came through God blessing us by sending his son Jesus. Jesus, by the way, Jesus is God's exact representation. We look like God in some ways, as I've mentioned, but I'm here to tell you, Jesus is the exact representation, as Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3 says, the Son is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. And after that, he provided purification for sins. And he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. That's Jesus. Talk about resting. There's an emphasis on rest throughout the Scriptures that starts with the seventh day of creation, but it continues all the way through Christ. What did Christ do? He did the work of purification, and he sat down at the right hand of God. Even from the cross, Jesus exclaimed, "It is finished." Jesus, the exact representation of God. Jesus is the one who's restoring God's perfect image in us. You see, the thing about our image is it's a little flawed. No, it's a lot flawed right now. And we're gonna talk more about that in coming weeks. But the image of God has been flawed. It's still in us, but it's been flawed because of the decision that Adam and Eve made that's been passed down to us. And we make wrong decisions that are against God and against his character of holy. And yet Jesus is restoring that in us, for it's by grace we have been saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not by works. There's your rest. We can rest from our attempts to please God. Jesus makes us right with God. And then there's this restoration that's taking place in sanctification and in making us to become more like Jesus, as Romans 8 says, to be conformed to the image of God's Son. The more we look like Jesus, the more we look like God, because Jesus is God. And that's what we That's what's happening in us. Once we receive Christ, that image is being restored as we conform to the image of Jesus. And then there's one more thing I will say that about Jesus, God sending Jesus. Jesus is preparing a perfect rest for us. We don't do too good at this rest thing. But when Jesus was preparing his disciple for his departure, his crucifixion and his death and his burial and his resurrection and his ascension, he said these words to his disciples, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. And if were not so, I would have told you, I am going there to prepare a place for you." You talk about rest. And I love how the message or the Jesus went on to say, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that where I am, you may be also." You know the way to the place where I'm going. And Thomas said, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way?" And Jesus answered and said, altogether, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." There's rest. There's rest. This is that what started in, it's a good picture in that day 7. Follow it through scriptures. Jesus will give us perfect rest in his kingdom to come. Now, the accounts of day 6 and day 7 of creation should cause us to ask these 6 personal questions, and I put them on your handout, 6 personal questions, and I can't answer them for you, but do you believe that God created you? Do you believe you've been created in his image, and how are you representing God to the world? When your coworkers see you in the office, do they think, "Man, something different about him"? Or do you look like the world? Also, I would ask you to consider another question. Are you setting aside a day for rest and reflection? So important to us. Do you know Jesus personally? And how is God then restoring his image in us? How is he sanctifying us or making us look more like the Lord Jesus? One more question. Are you eager for God's perfect place of rest in heaven? Amen. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Pleased to say that at Dale's services today, and we're certain that Dale's in the presence of the Lord because of his testimony in not his good deeds, but in Jesus Christ and the work that he has done. We are created with purpose. God's image is within us as creatures he made. Altogether, we are imago Dei. Once again, imago Dei. As the music team comes, they're going to lead us in a song that has significant words that I would just ask you not just to sing, but to think about.